Well, if you're Murray, do you try to score here?
Oh, I guarantee he will. Murray offensive end, now he'll pull away. He was trying to score in that last possession, but he won't here. He will. He'll launch the three. It is no good, and that will be remembered by the Celtics.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray going for the free three in the 50-point game, and the Celtics are barking at him, and he's barking back, and now we got some issues here after the game.
Oh, Kyrie is saying right now. What?
Kyrie has some words for young Jamal Murray. There are ways to act, and there are ways not to. Kyrie launches the basketball into the crowd.
I don't know how you can say in one breath, of course he's going to take the shot and try and get 50, and then the next say, there's the way that things are supposed to be done and the way they're not. We all knew that was going to happen, right? Did you expect Jamal Murray to try and get his 50th point?
I'd expect number 11 to take the shot if he had 47.
Kyrie Irving would have done the same,
right? Isn't that what they do in that league, right? That's like one of the cool things. They hit 50. Yeah.
50's a big number.
50's a big number.
Not a lot of guys that hit 50 in a game.
There's guys that hit 40, but I don't know. Maybe this is the point where it gets our ass going, and maybe it's something like that where we're going to be 2 months ahead, fast forward, looking back and say, gee, why weren't the Celtics playing well at the start of the season, or what the hell is their problem right now? You lose back-to-back games. This isn't what it should be, but Kyrie, two back-to-back games with 31, so maybe they're starting to turn it around, but I don't know. Maybe this is the one moment where you look back and say, okay, they woke up, and maybe they needed something like that.
Jamal Murray, first-round draft pick, top 10 guy out of Kentucky a couple years ago, had himself a game last night. The Celtics did not. Let me just put it that way. They are starting to do some things that I think are starting to annoy their fans. 115-107 the final. When you let up 115 points, you're defensively not probably having a great night.
Let me write that down. No defensive questions for the coach tomorrow.
115 points. Bad. Here. Oh, write this down. Play defense.
I mean, how many interviews last year with Stevens did we do where we credit him and talk defense? Wow, look at your defensive statistics. You're in the top three, everything across the board in the league. You're ranked here, there, or the other. And they weren't really scoring. So now all of a sudden it's flipped where you get this talent, you could score at times, but your defense is lackluster.
Do you get the sense that they're coasting a little bit here
out of
the gate? Doesn't it feel that way?
Yeah, they're coasting on their laurels.
And I really don't
have those preseason articles?
Yeah, I don't really have like a huge concern about them because I think they're going to be really good and they're going to straighten it all out.
So they should be.
I still don't feel like, this team's not going to be as good as we thought it was.
Oh, yeah, Jalen Brown tweeting out the East goes through Boston.
I know.
Before they even tip
the ball off. And ultimately, I think it does.
I do, too.
I still buy that.
But you don't, and I know Brad Stevens won't want his teammates to think. He wants them to think it, but he doesn't want them to verbally put it out there. Because now you put targets on you. It's bad enough that we know what you have assembled, right? When you're playing the Celtics, you know what they have. They're a damn talented team. So why wouldn't you have that target already on your back? You don't need all this other stuff.
Zolak and Bertrand here from Gillette Stadium this morning. 617-779-0985. We start with the Celtics from last night. And I have to say, despite Kyrie Irving being upset with Jamal Murray over that shot, Kyrie Irving after the game delivered probably my favorite Kyrie Irving moment as a Celtic in terms of just talking to the media. Not as a player, not as anything else, just as talking to the media about basketball. He was heated, and this felt like just one of the more genuine things the guy has ever said, because I think he's very, I don't know, very planned when he speaks. He thinks about it a little too much. This was just him after the game telling you exactly how he felt. Here's Kyrie.
I mean, what kind of competitor wouldn't it bother? You know what I'm saying? So, like, I understand we fouled him going to the free throw line. I don't want to make a big deal. Obviously, I was pissed off at the game, but it's time to decompress and move on. Congratulations to him having 48 points. You know, he did it in a great fashion against us. You know, our defense has to be better, especially against a player like that.
Is there more to that, or is that where it's going to end?
Does it?
Yeah. Right. Because he has a line in there. The line of the night, which is after a BS play like that, right? That's what I told him. I'm going to throw that ball into the stands.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to do. And I was like, I don't necessarily agree with him that it was all that bad of a slight, but I liked that he was angry. I wish they were a little more angry in the game itself. I wish his entire team was a little bit more angry in that game.
I don't know. That's a wake the F up moment for me. Wake the F up moment for me right there. Did you see how pissed off he is right there? Good. I'm glad you get emotionally invested. That it's not just another night, chalking up another loss. Don't worry, we'll get him on the other side. It tells me it means something to him. It just embarrassed me. We embarrassed ourselves. I love it. I think it's great. That shows leadership right there. I know you don't want all your teammates throwing the damn balls up in the stands, but that won't happen again.
No, but if you need to find something to get mad about to rally around to sort of wake yourself up, as you're saying, why not have it be this?
Yeah, I think it's enough. Enough's enough.
It's time to start playing, guys.
Let's go.
Jamal Murray after the game last night. Here's his comments on what went down.
I was having a lot of fun. I think my emotion took over, as it normally does when I get going like that. You know, no disrespect to the Boston organization, the Boston fans for the last shot. I just had in my mind I was going for 50, and I think everybody kind of understood that's what I was trying to do. I really, really wasn't meaning it, you know, disrespect. And, you know, I know half the team over there, so no hard feelings.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
No, you know what? Over there.
I mean, at the end of it, you watch it too. He's just dribbling out, and he's looking at the clock, waiting, and you know, it's something a typical high school kid does at the end of a game. You're up by 20, kids dribbling
Which
it out.
Which NBA player wouldn't do this?
They all do.
They'd all Kobe do would this. Do it. That's why Sean Grandy, when we played the call, said, oh, he's definitely going to take the shot. He's obviously going to take the
okay.
shot. Of course he is.
If that's a
Because
serious.
I think every NBA player would.
Yeah, but then he tried to dupe him. Then he's like, oh, no, he's not going to take the shot.
And so
then,
oh, yeah, how
when he says, oh,
shot.
everybody knew I was doing.
No, he didn't. He was dribbling it out.
You were dribbling the
yeah,
ball out.
He's dribbling it out like this, and you see him. He's watching the clock, and then psh, let's put it up. That's why Kyrie got pissed. Because if that's a series, if that's a playoff
because
series
he doesn't
right
want
there,
to be ta- he
that's like
want
a
be-
fake Murray, kneel down he, throw yeah. to the end zone.
Yeah. Yes.
Maria.
It's like yeah. Marino with the fake spike.
Yeah, it's like that.
No, it's not a fake spike. It's no. like a fake kneel down.
It's like when Brady does that six tight diamond and they go to kill the clock play, he fakes the knee and he throws one for like
yeah,
a
you're
touchdown.
Right. I get yeah. what you're saying. Fake you know kneel down is a better call.
Because everybody checks out. We're not gonna rush you. Okay, we'll just sit here. We're not gonna make contact. I understand why Kyrie's pissed, and he should be pissed. If that's a series, if that's a playoff series, Murray doesn't do that because you know you gotta play him again in two nights.
But the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
Yeah, he's right. It's a bull bleep move.
Ball deserves to go into the crowd after
yeah.
that.
And I'm glad he got past it, though. He said, hey, I got pissed. I decompressed. I'm good now. Wait till I see him again. You know, that's the stuff you keep in the back of your mind.
I think part of this is Kyrie being upset with the way this team plays down the stretch and the way the team's playing, too.
Yeah.
It was half Murray and half, like,
half frustration.
What the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, why are we not better? Why are we not better than this? Why are we not playing better defense? Why do we continue to take a bunch of threes? After they took a bunch of threes in the Bucks game last week, which helped them because they were hitting threes, I was talking about this with Tangway on TV, and I said, it doesn't bother me because that's the way the league is going, and you need to have that ability. I think it's something to have in the toolbox, right? One of the tools in the toolbox to be versatile as a team. Mm. And also, if you know you're shooting well as a team from three, you can keep doing it. I don't have an issue with that. It doesn't concern me. Here's what I failed to recognize at the time. That game may have given them some sort of false confidence to be able to just jack threes all night long. Like they think they're becoming the Golden State Warriors or something. What are you doing?
Yeah, everybody's been talking about this.
What are you doing? Why am I watching Marcus Morris take threes? Why am I doing what? What is happening here? Don't start thinking that's who you are. Have it at your, you know, have it available, but don't become that team. And maybe that's what happened as a result of that.
How many games did they run off after Gordon Hayward got hurt? How many games straight? What are they, like 18 or 19?
They were off to a much better start a year ago than
six
they are
and
now.
4 right now. 6-4. Think about that. The amount of talent they have, they're 6-4. They lose one of those ones, they're 500 team. If they don't win one of the games that they win, they won. 500 team.
Well, they're 6-4.
I know
enough.
They are. I'm saying they won a tight game earlier. If they lost that game, they're fine. What are you really? Really, as you play this thing out, are you that much above 500? You're almost a 500 team right now. That's 10 games. That's pretty decent sampling.
Yeah. I'm still not worried about them in the big picture, though.
I'm not either.
There's nothing about this team.
I mean, you should be concerned.
I mean, nothing about this team talent-wise that's deficient.
If you're their head coach, you're concerned right now.
There's nothing that can't be fixed, but I think they're suffering right now from, I don't know, some sort of malaise that they shouldn't have out of the gate.
Yeah, it's Celtic pedestal dementia right now because of what everybody has said about them in the preseason and everything that's talked about them.
They went up 15 in the first quarter last night, and they thought they won the game already.
Yes.
And Denver slowly came back, and all of a sudden, tie game, third quarter.
Yeah, because games in the NBA are won in the second half, and they're really won in the fourth quarter. If you have a decent opponent. If you have a decent opponent and the game is competitive, they're usually decided in the fourth quarter. That's when you really have to bring it. So you can't, it's really hard, nearly impossible to win an NBA game in the first quarter. That is a hard thing to do, right? Other sports, you can win the game early. You can win the game early in the NFL. You can win the game early in baseball.
How many times?
NBA? Usually can't do that. That's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, usually crank it up in the third and fourth. How many times are Celtic teams always just there in the third, and then give it to Paul Pierce in the fourth, he'd take over, and you pull away? You pull away in the fourth quarter. Games aren't won in the first.
617-779-0985. We are talking about the Celtics this morning after their loss last night. I want to get to your calls on the Celtics. Also want to get to some Red Sox and J.D. Martinez-related news. J.D. Martinez, not an MVP finalist. I don't even know how that's possible. Now, Mookie was my guy. Mookie, would have my vote if they gave me a vote.
He should at least been third consideration.
We'll talk about that later this hour. We'll get to your Celtics calls next. And, of course, we'll be talking football today as we come to you live from Gillette Stadium. 617-779-0985. We're off and running on Zolak. Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium today. Patriots now getting ready for their matchup against the Titans. They'll be back to work tomorrow. 617-779-0985. Tom is in the truck on the Celtics. Hi, Tom.
Hey, you know, I think it's just kind of like an ego thing, you know, reality check. Take the names off the back of their jerseys, see if they can play as a team and earn them back. I'll listen to your thoughts after. All right, have a go.
So I got you. Earn them back.
That'll fix it.
What is it, like a high school team now?
Who you call? You do, like, get the equipment manager? Get a razor blade and, like, kind of cut the stitching out? Do people even care right now?
It doesn't feel like
because you know it's going to fix itself because that's the way the NBA is.
It doesn't feel like people care. I can tell when we talk about the Celtics, there's little to no reaction.
When super teams are put together or built, what's the, especially in this league, how long does it take them to get going? Like, you look at LeBron when he's picked up and moved to different places.
The problem is most of this team was here last year. Who are we talking about when you're talking about it's a new team? I'm talking about one guy.
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, that's it. That's who you're talking about, one dude.
Yeah, but you're also talking about Jason Tatum being in a different spot he was in last. He's not going to defer as much as he maybe deferred as a rookie last year.
Couldn't you say, too, didn't Gordon Hayward have, like, his best game when Jaylen Brown wasn't there or wasn't available?
So what's,
like, the mixing and matching. I mean, like, you could say, okay, maybe it's, is that me?
Sorry. Yes.
Maybe it's, I don't know. I mean, Kyrie wasn't playing well at the beginning, and then Tommy Heinsohn said he looked fat, and then all of a sudden he got shape in 1 week, and now all of a sudden he's got back-to-back 31-point games. I don't know. I don't know what to put the finger on. Would you say during a break, Marcus Morris looks like their best player?
Right now, he looks like the only guy that cares out there.
Well, Marcus Smart.
That's the way he plays, and that's his style and all that, but he looks like the best player on the floor at times when he shouldn't be.
So yeah, Marcus Smart got paid now, right? So I still don't think that money would make him change. You know what I mean? Like, he's just that type of player. He's got to dive on the court, dive for loose balls, you know, pick fights, play with an edge, because he's that type of player. You just don't change because you get paid that way. I think you're going to get great effort from him all the time. It's not to say they're not giving you effort. Just nothing's blended yet.
Do we want to start keeping track of the Marcus Smart plus minus, the way the Marcus Smart fans love to throw that in everyone's face? The Marcus Smart defenders.
It would be interesting at 13 and, or the 13 and a half million, how that plus minus looks compared to last year.
Oh, the plus minus last night was a negative 10. It was minus 10 last night. For those of you who love that stat.
But not as bad as Marcus Morris, who was a minus 18.
Yeah, minus 18. But I just know that that's a big Marcus Smart defender fact right there. And listen, I like Marcus Smart. Happy that he's still here. But he ain't bringing it right now.
I don't feel like this is on the bench, though. I feel like this is on the stars.
Yeah.
The stars need to perform. The guys getting paid max contracts need to perform. Bottom line.
You're not satisfied with the 8 points from Gordon Hayward last night?
No.
No, me neither.
Gordon Hayward is very underwhelming.
I have been told for years that you can't just look at, you know, stats, especially for guys like Al Horford. Is Gordon Hayward another guy where you have to pay attention to what he does?
No,
away
he's not
from
a little thing
okay,
guy.
So I can actually look at Gordon Hayward's 26 minutes on the court last night, 8 points, 9 rebounds, which is good. But 8 points and 2 assists and say not good enough, that's okay.
Yeah,
we can do that with
allowed.
Gordon Hayward? Good.
That's allowed.
Because
let's make
that's
sure
not
that's
good enough.
Clear right now. That is well within your rights to be saying that.
But, you know, I got really called out for saying that he didn't look good in the first game that he played and that, you know, he's coming back from injuries. So maybe we're not allowed to talk about it yet. You know, he did land and felt, you know, something in his ankle. Last week, so maybe we're not allowed to talk about Gordon Hayward yet. I mean, at some point we're going to have to be allowed to talk about all these guys. Just maybe we can all decide when it's okay.
Ryan is in New Hampshire. Hey, Ryan.
Hey there, guys. Hey, I'm wondering, do we have any concern with Kyrie and his knee with any of the doctors potentially telling him he might have a shorter lifespan in the NBA or season this year? Is maybe that's why he was so gung-ho during summer league to sign back on with us?
No, I don't have that concern. Do you?
No.
You obviously do, Ryan.
I don't have any insider knowledge. I didn't know if you guys did.
I don't.
He doesn't have inside knowledge.
The thought didn't cross your mind when he said, oh, I'm good with the max contract. I'm good. I'm going to stay here. The thought didn't cross your mind at all that, well, maybe he's worried about his knee and he's already getting the Celtics ownership to commit. When maybe
no.
The thought crossed my mind when he said, oh, I'm good, that Danny could still trade him. At some point,
as long as he plays well this year, he was going to get the max offer from the Celtics. So it wouldn't have mattered if he knew secretly from his doctors that his knee only has, you know, 3 years left or something. As long as he plays well this year, he's going to get that max offer.
You don't think Danny would move him?
No.
And you don't think him committing early would be that next trump card to go above the Ainge thing? Maybe no.
Wasn't Isaiah Thomas all about staying with the Celtics?
Yeah.
That didn't stop Danny from trading him.
He was going to bleed for Boston.
Oh, so you still think Ainge could trade him?
I think Ainge...
After the fact, yes.
No, my point is that I don't think Ainge will not trade him because he said that.
Okay.
That's
right.
What I'm saying.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I think maybe Kyrie was trying to get ahead of it and saying...
No, and when you say, you know, that Danny would... I don't think Danny was trying to move him. Right?
No.
You don't think that either.
No, but if he's looking at it down the road and saying, all right, his knee's a little wonky. Do we want to pay this guy the max contract? Maybe we don't. Maybe we move him. When now, if Kyrie...
I could see that, yeah.
When Kyrie was wishy-washy about staying here, it would have been looked better upon the fans to be, oh, he moved him, but he was wishy-washy about staying here anyways. Now that Kyrie's fully committed,
right.
It's like you're really going to look like the bad guy for trading him if you do trade him.
Well, if he keeps his health and he stays on the court and he plays well, like... I mean, he has this week.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was ever in doubt. I don't think Danny would trade him under those circumstances.
If you haven't done it yet,
and he's playing well.
If you haven't done it yet, I encourage you to go to the Google machine, just like every sporting event asks you to say, hey, Google, check out the videos on the wiring of the kneecap and all the stuff that goes into attempting to fix a cracked kneecap or a broken kneecap and look at the wiring and the braces around it and the screws. It turn your stomach. And to think that your starting point guard, a guy that's going to be $30 million a year,
but at least it's,
had that done to you. And I understand the bone.
At least it's bone.
It's fixed. I know.
It's not like a ligament.
It's amazing to me. It really is. That you could fix something like that and then go in and take the wire out, take the screws out. Okay, he's good. And then restitch it all.
I thought it was sort of a relief when we found out it was just the wire last year.
I thought it was the infected screw.
Yeah, screw.
Yeah.
Sorry, the metal. Metal in the knee. It's what I'm talking about, that it was that.
It's a different infection. It's not pus. It's an internal infection that you can't see. It's just like, oh, my God.
Brendan's in the car.
Ugh.
Hi, Brendan.
Hey.
Hey.
Why don't you guys get the Google machine and check out Marcus Smart's new song, 52 Mil. You might want to listen to it off the air first. See if
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Check it out.
All right.
Oh, wow. So just finished saying, I don't think the money will change him. Now he's putting out rap songs.
Hardy?
52 mil.
Hardy, why don't you give that a listen? And then,
why don't we bleep
see if it's clean.
Okay.
We're going to have to clean that one up so we can play that.
Oh, no, the headline says, check out his new, what is it, NFSW?
Not safe for work. Not safe for the radio.
What's NFSW?
Not safe for work.
I thought it meant no effing.
No.
Yeah, that too.
I think it's okay. I'm reading the lyrics right here. 52 mil. I don't care about anything anymore because I've got 52 mil. Don't care about basketball or you, 52 mil.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Poor Brad Stevens.
That's not what it says, Harden. It's not what it says.
Did that say that?
It's not what it says. I just thought 10 games in was like a good measuring stick point. 10 games in. I mean, when they get 10 games in, things will look better. And then they had that good win over the Bucks last week, late last week.
Yeah, undefeated
like,
team.
Undefeated team coming to town. They've sorted it out.
There's a lot of traffic at night.
Right in time for those 10 games to roll around. And then last night happens, and you're like, damn it. Damn it. Maybe things still do need to be changed.
It's 12% of your season. It's not something small. It seems like crazy to think that they were
playing 12% of the season. 10 games seems minuscule. Like, we do with hockey. Well, hockey, the big peak-in deadline is Thanksgiving, right? If you're in it, if you're not in the top eight Thanksgiving, you're in trouble. You're going to be in trouble all year long. What's the looking period for the NBA?
Yeah, right. What's the drop date?
Christmas. It's always Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What are you laughing at?
I just listened.
He's not dancing and rapping in the video.
I just listened to the first 30 seconds. Tom, can you put my computer up? Because I was joking.
Yeah.
I was more right than I thought.
What?
He's mumbling that he's got 52 mil.
What's he, an Ambien? Is this the Ambien Fred? Hold on, Hardy. Rewind that.
That tone right there, the energy level of Marcus Smart in that song is about equal to the energy level of the Celtics.
You know what we should do?
I was more right than I thought. I was making a joke.
52 mil. We should do a show again.
I'm like, oh, he's going to throw it in our face. Going to be a really high energy. 52 mil ain't going to change me. 52.
What's up, Celtic fans? Where are you people? You people run when what stuff isn't going well, right? This is what they do. It's typical green team stuff. This doesn't bug you.
Gordon Hayward's on Instagram like every 6 minutes. You got Marcus Smart is not right.
Jalen Brown saying it goes through us.
Jalen Brown selling the road east to go through Boston.
I kind of like
it. One guy making a movie.
They're like a 500 team.
Yeah.
Got a bit of a designer panda feel to it.
Yeah, can I have that again, please?
Yeah, it does. Panda.
Just can I have that again?
A little bit. It hasn't been vetted yet, so we don't know.
Legacies.
Here we go. Go ahead.
Hey, man. 52 ounces? Holler. 52. Got 52 ounces. I'll come. He got 52.
I don't know. I mean, we need to listen to it off the air first.
Jungle-O?
Yep.
Zoe needs to speed that up. That's like true. The Jungle-O song, make it better.
Need to speed him up and kind of up the pitch a little bit or something.
Speed it up for him a little, Hardy. See what happens.
All right. I got to listen to the whole thing first.
All right. You do that.
You do that during a break.
You do that after your headlines.
This is more important than what's going on with the Celtics.
We will address this, and we will also get to J.D. Martinez, not an MVP finalist, as announced yesterday. We'll talk about that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins beat the Stars 2-1 in overtime last night. Brad Marchand buried the power play, a goal with just 29 seconds left on the clock. Champ, can you tell us about it?
Yeah, just getting lucky. You know, it's nice to finally get the back of the net there. You know, it would have been tough if we ended up going to a shootout, but we're happy to get that win.
All right. They're going to stay home to take on Vancouver on Thursday night. Celtics lost their second straight game last night, 115-107 to the Nuggets in Denver. They're now two games into a five-game road trip that will continue Thursday night in Phoenix. Titans over the Cowboys, 28-14 in Dallas last night. Patriots getting ready to visit the Titans Sunday afternoon. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zola and Bertrand. Midday on 98.5. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Zoe and Beetle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates.
No J.D. Martinez, huh?
Well, you are a mind reader. John and I, we talked about that in the meeting, right? Because I don't think the Red Sox would have won the World Series without J.D. Martinez. Organization change. Remember the last 2015, 2016, particularly last year, we got to have Big Poppy back. Where is he? we missed that guy, that DH. How important was the DH role? A lot of people look at that role and they go, yeah, he's a DH. The Red Sox won the World Series because the DH was no longer an issue for the Boston Red Sox. And he also, John Hart, made that lineup better.
Dan Plesac, former major leaguer on the panel on MLB Network, offering their opinion that J.D. Martinez should have been a finalist for the American League's Most Valuable Player Award. You agree?
Finalist meaning final three, final four.
Final three are Mookie Betts, Jose Ramirez, and Mike Trout. Those are the three finalists.
Yeah, he probably belongs in there as the third.
So who's out for you? And by the way, they did answer this question on MLB. I'd go
Mookie, Trout, J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, and that's what it should have been.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez, to me, is a great player. And I'd love to have on your team.
That's a popularity contest and with Trout because it's not about personality.
He's up there as one of the best players in the American League. Right. But I'm sorry, if you're going to compare him to J.D. Martinez, J.D. Martinez should get more consideration and should be in there. Ramirez is the guy who should be out.
Yeah. They fell off, and look at the way Martinez just, his numbers are steady. You know, flat line steady. It's not like he came out of the gates and had a great April or May and then just fell off for a while and then got hot. He's pretty consistent. You could even say, like, Mookie at times didn't live up to expectations. I felt more times this season, his name was discussed as the not living up to expectations as much as anybody else's.
You know what this tells me?
I thought was your most solid player.
So you know what this tells me is that that thing that we discussed as a possibility does come true. When you have another guy on your team, it sort of hurts your odds of becoming a finalist.
I said this. You said no way. It doesn't make any
sense. Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah. And then I taught, you know, Maz sort of schooled me on this after the fact.
It's the worst thing.
Maz knows better than I do.
I even remember, you know, coming up through college football, if you had two great players on a team, one guy, both were up for the Heisman, you hurt each other because you took votes away.
Which, you know, is total, you know what's bull crap about that? You can't have it both ways, writers. You can't say that it's just about the best player. When you want to put Mike Trout on there, fine. Mike Trout is arguably the best player in the American League. So you and say, well, it doesn't matter what his team is. It's all about him and his individual performance. But that when you look at the Red Sox, you say, oh, but they're a really good team. So we'll take who their best MVP is. Who, you know, who's most valuable to their team. You're voting on two different standards, are you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You're voting on two very different standards. When it comes to a good team, you only want to pick one of the guys and say, well, who is the most valuable out of the two? Not who are the best players in the American League. It's not a team award. Right. It's an American League award is what it is. JD should have been a finalist, but I can tell you this. You know what it also proves? Mm. That JD had no shot of winning. None.
Zero.
Everybody was voting for Betts.
Yep.
Betts was the guy. Betts was the MVP.
You say MVP.
That was my vote all year long. Give it to Betts.
You say MVP. I never would think that he was the MVP. I would say, and I said this earlier, and I truly believe it, Mookie Betts was going to be the league MVP. J.D. Martinez is a Red Sox MVP. If that makes any sense. He's the Red Sox MVP this year. Betts is the American League MVP.
Well, again, if you want to do it on two different.
But that's by separating one or the other. That's what it is, folks. Plus, he doesn't have a personality.
They call it the MVP award, and I hate that they do it. I hate that they do it in the NFL, too.
Right.
Because it's not about who's truly most valued. It's about who's the best player.
Right.
It's player of the year is what it is. It's never been voted any other way.
Betts is more dynamic. I think it resonates more. He's more popular. Don't bring personality into it because it has nothing to do with personality with Trout being at all times because he has no personality. It's a popularity thing.
What? You know? It's about how good you are.
I understand that,
Mike Trout was off the charts this year. Mike Trout had a career-high OPS. He had a career-high on base.
He's been doing it for a while, and he's been
stealing bases again, jacking home runs. The guy does everything.
Most popular guy in baseball, Mike Trout.
See, I don't think he is. I don't think he is the most popular guy in baseball. I think he gets sort of lost in the shuffle being out in Anaheim. I don't think he's the most. I think Aaron Judge could be the most popular guy in baseball.
He will be in 2 years. Probably.
I think he might already be. I don't think Mike Trout is the guy. I don't think Mike Trout is the most popular guy in baseball. I don't think it's about popularity.
My kid doesn't watch any baseball.
Take
JD, he knows who Mike Trout is.
Take J.D. Martinez's stat line and put David Ortiz's name in front of it. Is he a finalist?
Pardon me again?
J.D. Martinez. Take his stat line and put the name David Ortiz instead of J.D. Martinez.
No, because I think this is going to – I'm convinced now. I didn't think
because
it
of the household name.
I didn't think it would go this way. I was wrong. I was dead wrong. I think it goes the same way. They're going to give the votes to Betts.
I think Ortiz wins in a landslide. Ortiz would win over Betts. Like J.D. Martinez.
Ortiz
did.
Would win over Betts.
He'd win over Trout, too.
It's the name. Name. Name helps. Name does help.
Well, Mike Trout doesn't need the help of his name.
He doesn't, but everybody knows his name, though. Not everybody knows J.D. Martinez's name.
Jose Ramirez out, J.D. Martinez in. That's the way it should have gone. Cam and Taunton, your thoughts.
You cannot convince me that this is another BBWAA tirade. I mean, the DH has been in existence now for 45 years, and they just won't accept the fact that it's part of the game. Because this is just, you know, this is not the game that I grew up with. You have to play the field. Get over yourselves already. It'd be one thing if this was a new rule and it came into effect 5 years ago. Fine. It's been 50 years, people. He changed the Red Sox. He changed the best lineup in baseball. That lineup went from last in the AL in home runs to, I don't know if it was first, but it was definitely top five, all because of him, because he changed the lineup. And this is just a long, I guarantee you, some jackass in this voting committee is going to leave Mariano Rivera off their ballot this year because no one's been unanimous. I'm not going to let it start now. These guys are the, oh, man. I don't agree with Felger on much, but the BBWAA is one of them. Those guys suck.
I love ripping them because
that's
it's
a great
fun
call.
But I'll tell you what, they're not as bad as you think they are. They wanted to pick one Red Sox guy. They picked the right one. That's what they did. I don't agree with it. I think they both should have been on it. But if Mookie Betts is the MVP, what did they get wrong? Right? These are just finalists. This isn't even who wins it. Let's see who wins. If Mookie Betts wins, what's sort of the complaint? What is the complaint if Mookie Betts wins? They got it right. The right guy won.
Did he? If Joe's right and J.D. Martinez was the team MVP, then shouldn't he be the league MVP too?
No.
Why?
The greatest team in baseball.
No, because I think these are
series.
Two different things, the way So even said it. Because I don't think you win MVP by being the most I don't think you can win an MVP in Major League Baseball by sitting down and doing video with your teammates. That doesn't win you the award.
This has been the whole way this whole year, the way I felt about it.
Should it be?
Betts is the outright frontrunner for league MVP.
So it's just the numbers.
I like it the way it is.
Just numbers. Throw them in a calculator, and that's it.
No, not numbers. Best player. Who's the best player? If you can have one guy on the Red Sox next year,
Betts.
One guy, JD or Betts,
Betts.
Who are you taking?
Betts.
It's Mookie in a landslide. You're taking Mookie Betts. You're not taking JD Martinez. He had a great year, but you're not picking JD Martinez over Mookie for next year. Luckily, we don't have to make that choice. This is what I disagree with, though. You know what? I'm going to save this. I'm going to save what I'm about to tell you because have come down to a number, one specific number, which means the writers are just getting lazy and banking on something a little too much to make these calls on who it is that should be the MVP. We'll talk about that. And Alex Cora, a finalist for Manager of the Year. Will he win? Does he have a shot? Let's get to that coming up next as well.
Scott Zola, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Shaking of the LA Times had this tweet saying that J.D. Martinez was not one of the three American League MVP finalists. He writes, it is a sign of changing standards among voters. Where he ranked in the American League, and he writes out a list of seven categories of where J.D. Martinez ranked. RBI, 1. Home runs, 2. Batting average, 2. Runs, 3. OPS, 3. OBP, 3. Slugging, 2. And then he puts an extra line between the 7th and 8th category that he lists. WAR. He ranked 7th.
What the hell's WAR?
7th is where he ranked.
Wins above replacement?
There you go. Attaboy, Zo.
That's what makes me hate baseball.
Yes.
That you're going to look and evaluate a person based on when if he
like,
wasn't
cut
there.
The crap.
You
now.
Know what? Patriots won without Rob Gronkowski and Sony Michel. They should continue to not play them.
Why have an award? Why even do it?
You won a Super Bowl without.
Why do I need you to vote on
Edelman
that
this year? What the hell's Edelman back for? You don't need him. I mean, you went to the Super Bowl with him.
Why have a vote? Just have the WAR award every year. That's all you got to do. Whoa.
Good God, y'all! Yo.
nerds.
There you go. Play just give out the war.
Just read the top three things. No, that's all you need to know.
Give
baseball.
Me a war.
Does the guy mash? Does he hit home runs? Does he score?
So,
what's his batting average?
You know what? People that don't understand war is that you just explained it exactly perfect, I think. It's how much better is Rob Gronkowski than Dwayne Allen? Dwayne Allen is the replacement player, right? He would be the perfect average Joe replacement player.
4A replacement player.
You plug that guy in. Versus Rob Gronkowski is how war is.
You got the Super Bowl without Julian Edelman, blew his knee out preseason. You didn't have the entire freaking year. You got the Super Bowl through for 505 yards and was up at the end, and they end up coming back to beat you. You don't need Edelman. What the hell are you even having back for this year? You can win without him.
Again.
This is such a stupid stat.
Why do we need you? If this is how the vote's going to go over you, who wins the war?
So stupid. All you need to know, top three stats right there, and that guy freaking mashed this year.
I just think what a waste of time.
That's what makes baseball sexy. Those top three, not war. Nobody looks at war unless you're a freaking inside guy.
You know, the old voters, the old stiffs in the BBWAA, they hate steroid guys, right? Like, they won't put the steroid guys in the Hall of Fame. The young voters will put the steroid guys in the Hall of Fame.
They should.
Except then they want to vote on, like, the regular season awards like this. There's no winning with this group. There really isn't. There's no winning. At least the steroid guys are going to start getting in the Hall of Fame eventually. We hope. 617-779-0985.
That's why Aaron Rodgers is the war king of the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Terrific.
What's his war?
Evan's in Fairhaven today. What's up, Evan?
Hey, Zolak. Hey, Bertrand. How you guys doing?
Hey, Evan.
Good.
I just had two really quick points. I think it's pretty unfair that Martinez was snubbed potentially because Betts is also on the Red Sox, because Andujar and Torres were both on the Yankees, and they both got considerations for Rookie of the Year. And I think that the two awards are pretty equal, so it doesn't really make sense that just because they're both on the Red Sox, Martinez couldn't be put over
the MVP. Come on,
yeah, I just don't think Rookie of the Year is that important.
And I think if you're going to have new guys upon the scene, they're all going to be on there if they're playing well for Rookie of the Year. You're going to get mentioned. I don't think that takes away from it. But to what you just said about the Yankees, which one stood out to you more? That guy's going to get it. Who stood out to you more with the Red Sox? Betts did. That's why he's on it.
I mean, in an offensive league, I think JD would stand out more just because of how clutch he was at the plate. And Mookie Betts wasn't as consistently good on offense, in my opinion. It was always JD coming in with those clutch hits. Those
funny
great,
thing, too. I mean, both these guys really did not do much in the World Series.
That's
the playoffs for the most part. Yeah.
I mean, JD was better in every offensive category over Jose Ramirez. And I don't know. I left a bad taste in my mouth.
All right, let me ask you this. Let me ask you the same question, Evan, since you wanted to compare it to Rookie of the Year. Name a fourth contender for Rookie of the Year.
Fourth contender. Yeah, you got me there.
Yeah, and this is why I think it happened. Rookie of the Year is not the same as MVP. There's a shorter pool of candidates for who you have for Rookie of the Year. It's not as easy. So that's how I look at it. Like, yeah, the pool of candidates there is not as good. 617-779-0985. Do you think Alex Cora has a shot at winning Manager of the Year? He is a finalist.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he won. I think it's nice that he's a finalist. I don't think he's going to win.
It's almost like too much has gone his way.
Kevin Cash should win, and I think he will win. That's what I think will happen. And Bob Melvin, I think, makes a good case, too, considering the A's were one of the best stories in baseball. But no one gives a crap about Oakland. No one cares about the A's, so no one really talked about it at all.
Right.
But those two guys, I think, are just based on their lack of players, talent, payroll, however you want to phrase it.
And that payroll versus your payroll and how the A's match up.
They're doing a lot
you.
With a little is like what they're doing.
The A's were a team you didn't want to face in the playoffs, and maybe potentially in the first round if they got in.
And that's typically how you win that award, so... We'll see.
For the sake of baseball, can Kevin Cash not win the award, though? Do we want to see this happen with every team?
You're right. I don't want that to be encouraged.
No. Oh, you can do this and win Manager of the Year? Oh, let me start openers instead of starters.
No.
Bullpen games.
But I think it draws attention to how shameful the front office is in Tampa and the ownership is in Tampa. That is shameful. It's a disgrace to the game, the Tampa Bay Rays. They refuse to spend their money. They refuse to just – I hate those teams, those leeches in baseball. They just leech off the rest of the league and don't give a damn about being competitive.
It's okay in the playoffs. You can kind of deal with it in the playoffs because it's fun. It's you got it. Every game is so important, but do you need to do that all regular season? Do you really want to watch that all regular season long?
Hell no.
No, that would make me watch less.
No. And they're not doing it because it's innovative or it's a good way to do things. They're doing it just because they don't have guys. Right? It's not like, oh, hey, we have payroll, we have players, we're doing something because we think it's a new approach to winning. No, they're doing it out of necessity. It's not like they had much of a choice. You're right.
We don't have enough starters that can go five innings, so we're just going to do this.
Danny's in Malden. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Beetle.
Hey.
I could not agree with you more. You know what? Usually I feel like I don't agree with you much, so you're my guy. But right. Alex Cora does not deserve Manager of the Year. Kevin Cash should win that award unanimously. Absolutely, no question, unanimously. That guy, what he did with that team, they got rid of everybody. And then they traded Chris Archer. They traded Archer away midseason.
Archer?
Hey, guys, don't stop. And I'm from Malden, so you know.
I know that.
You know, so you know how we are in Malden.
That's right,
so you're always my guy. You're the man.
You don't agree with me, but I'm the man. I'm this guy.
At least he knows his baseball.
Yep.
Danny and Malden. Traded away Archer.
How's Malden doing?
Blair's
little football.
Blair,
team.
Go ahead.
Oh, he called Felger and Madge yesterday. Jesus.
It's got to be quick.
Hurry up, Blair.
Well, Cora deserves it out of any manager, the whole MLB. Because look what he did. He brought a World Series champ.
Voting is done prior to the playoffs starting. Voting was done a month ago. Before the playoffs, if these are regular season awards
Felger
only.
Felger and Madge were happy to talk to me. So they go, hey, it's up Blair from Maine. Yeah, what's up, guys?
They could have him.
They could have him. I just hope Ken's good today. Had a couple of my buddies text me. I love Ken. Ken and Lowell. Quite concerned about him. After the call yesterday.
I had people reaching out to me yesterday, too, about Ken.
On Twitter, too?
Yeah.
I mean, but
yeah, there were.
Maybe he pulled his groin.
Mike is in West Roxbury today on John Henry of all topics. What's up, Mike?
How's it going, guys?
Hi.
Guys, I just want to add a comment about, you know, Bob Kraft gets a lot of praise and adoration as the best owner in town. But, you know, the Pats have been like 32nd or, you know, one of the last teams spending the past few years. Obviously, we all know that they've won 5 championships and been to 8. And, you know, you look over at John Henry.
Where are you getting these numbers from? Patriots don't spend.
The past few years on Adam Jones, I think I heard. I'll blame him.
There you go. Thank you.
You're going to go to Jones for your info?
Well, I know that they have, you know, I know they released, and I know that they're in the bottom half of spending. I'll leave it at that. I don't want to be quote myself.
Not
on that,
in the bottom half of spending.
They're not? Okay.
No.
Well, either way, if you look at John Henry, I mean, this guy empties his pockets. He's willing to spend more than anyone else.
Stephon
and I feel
Gilmore,
like he doesn't get enough credit.
Do you know that Stephon Gilmore 2 weeks ago, they had to guarantee part of the contract to make sure they could just get a couple million under the cap in case they were going to make a move at the trade deadline? Teams that are in the bottom half in the league in spending don't do that.
Okay. I think that when you're talking about Patriots versus Red Sox, first of all, I don't think – the Patriots.
There's no cap in baseball.
I don't think the Patriots ownership gets like an immense amount of credit every time they win a Super Bowl.
No, Brady and Belichick.
Like everyone's talking about Brady and Belichick. That's, yeah. Oh, well, you know, they're winning because of their ownership. I think everyone recognizes that it's good, stable ownership, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't want to stand for anything less than successful seasons year after year after year, right? But in terms of baseball, you can directly impact. Again, do you want to be Tampa? No. He directly decides how much money he wants to spend. Most leveraged teams, i.e., this is reading from Jason at Over the Cap, right? Most leveraged teams, which means the highest percentage of signing bonus money as part of the cap hit in 2019.
They're leveraged into next season. The most leveraged teams, like going for it all, going into next season, leveraged into next season's cap.
Because they've got so much money tied up in guaranteed cash. Do you know where they rank in the NFL?
Where do they rank?
Sixth.
Bill? That's not bottom half,
that's
right?
Not, I mean, it's a different metric than just cash out, but it's one example that it's not an issue of they spend money.
They spend money and they move money into the future to spend money this year.
Yeah, here's the problem, though. You can criticize where they spend the money or how they spend the money, but I don't think it's a lack of money. That's never been an issue. I mean, I don't feel that way.
No.
I feel like we've, at times through the years, said, oh, well, you know, you could go out and get a high price free agent, and they are typically against doing that.
Yeah.
Right? But I think it's different in baseball. I think it's a bad comparison comparing the two sports. Baseball, as an owner, you pretty much directly decide how much money is going to get spent on the team. And you can get crazy with it, the way the Red Sox do, the Yankees do, the big market teams do. The Cubs, who, by the way, this is not related to anything we're talking about. Theo said yesterday out in Chicago that Joe Maddon will not get a new contract going into the year. He's going to be a lame duck manager in Chicago. They're not quitting on him.
$6 million for next
they're not
year
quitting
too.
On him.
Go out and win it all, buddy.
Make $6 million a year.
Yeah,
who
plus
cares?
$1 million bonus for having won the World Series.
He lives in an RV. He doesn't care.
Yeah. I like it. Like, they should get back to that. You know, there's, like, this new unwritten rule that you can't have a guy on the last year of his contract. Love this. I like that. I'm a fan. 617-779-0985. We're going to check out the headlines with Hardy. Let's talk a little Patriots on the other side in 90 seconds.